The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan Lewis brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's EWTN Rome Bureau Chief, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to a new edition of Vatican Insider. I'll be going into the news highlights in a second, but after that, stay tuned for the weekly special segment. Now, looking back at the news. Sunday, November 11th at the Angelus, the Holy Father spoke of the beatification of 16 people in Spain, the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, and the World Day of the Poor that takes place Sunday, November 18th. World War I, of course, ended with an armistice on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. Francis said, "Today marks the centenary of the end of the First World War, which my predecessor, Benedict XV, defined as the useless slaughter." He noted that bells, including those of St. Peter's, will ring throughout the world to honor the date. Francis said World War I is a strong warning to reject the culture of war and to seek every legitimate means to put an end to those conflicts that are still making blood flow in many regions of the world. Sunday night, in an 11th-hour move, the Congregation for Bishops sent a letter to the USCCB, whose meeting was to start Monday morning in Baltimore. It urged the U.S. bishops to delay voting on two proposals relating to the sex abuse crisis scheduled for discussion at their annual meeting this week. The proposals were to focus on discipline for bishops who have committed abuse or were found to cover up priests or bishops who had done so. At the moment, there's no set discipline or structure for errant bishops, just for priests. Monday, November 12th. Pope Francis, in a letter to Enzo Bianchi, founder of the ecumenical monastic Bozé community, thanked him for years of fruitful presence in the church and in society. Bianchi planted the first seeds of the community in 1965, on the very day the Second Vatican Council II ended. Francis wrote, "Its simple beginning has become a significant mission which has favored the renewal of religious life. The community today is made up of some 80 brothers and sisters from different Christian churches who live a life of prayer and work, seeking God in prayer, poverty, celibacy, and obedience to the gospel." Tuesday, November 13th, the Vatican announced that Pope Francis will make an apostolic journey to Morocco on March 30th and 31st, 2019, visiting the cities of Rabat and Casablanca, programmed to be announced later. Also Tuesday, Pope Francis sent a message to the 25th General Assembly of the Spanish Conference of Religious, inviting them to look to the future with humble audacity and to be prophets of hope. He said religious life is full of opportunities, enthusiasm, and passion, despite some uncertainties and concerns. The latter include fewer vocations, aging members, economic problems, challenges posed by internationality and globalization, and the pitfalls of relativism, marginalization, and social irrelevance. Wednesday at the General Audience, the Pope continued his catechesis on the Ten Commandments, highlighting the eighth, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." He said Christians are called to be truthful, not only in our words, but in our entire way of acting towards others. Our ultimate model in this regard is Jesus himself. He's the truth in person, who, at his trial before Pilate, revealed that he came into this world to testify to the truth. "When a person is not communicating authentically," said Francis, "it's a serious matter because it inhibits relationships and therefore inhibits love. Where there is a lie, there is no love." The Pope also noted that gossiping kills. It kills because the tongue kills, like a knife. "Be careful," he said. "Gossip is a terrorist because he or she throws a bomb and then leaves." On Thursday, November 15th, the Holy Father received in audience President Reuven Rivlin of the State of Israel, who subsequently met with Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin and Archbishop Paul Gallagher, Secretary for Relations with States. A Vatican statement noted, "During the cordial discussions which took place around the 25th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations, the positive relations between the Holy See and the State of Israel were evoked. And, with regard to the state authorities and the local Catholic communities, the hope was expressed that suitable agreements may be reached in relation to some issues of common interest. Mention was made, said the statement, of the importance of building greater mutual trust in view of the resumption of negotiations between Israelis and Palestinians, so as to reach an accord respecting the legitimate aspirations of both peoples and of the Jerusalem question in its religious and human dimension for Jews, Christians, and Muslims, as well as the importance of safeguarding its identity and vocation as a city of peace. In fact, a fundamental agreement between the Holy See and Israel was signed in Jerusalem on December 30, 1993. Action on some of its provisions involving taxes, visas for Catholic workers, and other issues are still pending on the part of Israel. Days ago, the Catholic bishops of the Holy Land spoke out in a statement responding to the, quote, issue of the nation-state law passed by the Israeli Knesset on July 19, 2018. The legislation limits the promotion and protection offered by the State of Israel only to, quote, Jewish citizens of the State of Israel. In direct response to this, the bishops wrote, "We must draw the attention of the authorities to a simple fact. Our faithful, the Christians, our fellow citizens, Muslim, Druze, and Baha'i, all of us who are Arabs are no less citizens of this country than our Jewish brothers and sisters." The bishops also drew attention to the ongoing tension arising from the definition of Israel's democracy being both, quote, Jewish and, quote, democratic. "It is the Jewish majority who determines what this means," they noted, "while the Arab minority experiences the discrimination caused by the imbalance of the Jewish element over the democratic. Also Thursday, November 15th, Pope Francis spoke to 100 seminarians, priests, and staff of the Collegio Pio Latino, a Latin American institute in Rome, on the occasion of its 160th anniversary. He urged Latin American priests to create bonds of friendship and fraternity among themselves and be close to the life of their people with the love of Christ. A pontifical college in Rome is a residence for seminarians and for priests who pursue higher ecclesiastical studies in various church universities and institutes. The Pope noted that the Latin American culture was being fragmented by confrontations, divisive discourses, hatred towards those who are not our own, and by importing cultural models that are alien to its identity. Father Federico Lombardi, president of the Ratzinger Foundation, received letters from Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI and from Pope Francis to mark the inauguration of the 2018 International Symposium, Fundamental Rights and Conflicts Among Rights, being held by the Joseph Ratzinger / Benedict XVI Vatican Foundation in Rome. In his November 12th letter, Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI expressed his respect for the theme of this year's symposium and stated that he considers the symposium extremely useful, in particular because it's important to discuss the problematics of the multiplication of rights, as well as the risk of the destruction of the idea of rights. Pope Francis spoke about the relevance the symposium has today as we approach the 70th anniversary of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. "This occasion is not only an opportunity to celebrate the memory of this declaration," he said, "but also an opportunity to impose deep reflection on its application and on its development in the vision of human rights in today's day and age." Francis expressed his wish that through the inspiration of our beloved Pope Emeritus, the symposium might help to contribute to highlighting an essential problem regarding the protection of human dignity and integral development. Friday, November 16th, Pope Francis addressed members of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem at the end of its four-day consulta, a meeting that takes place every 5 years. The order is present in more than 30 nations and areas around the world, providing education and formation programs. The Pope took the opportunity to highlight the dramatic situation of Christians who are persecuted and killed in ever greater numbers. He also spoke of white martyrdom, like, for example, that type which occurs in democratic countries when religious freedom is limited. Francis encouraged the Order's commitment to addressing the refugee crisis that has led the Church over the past 5 years to provide a significant humanitarian response throughout the Middle East. He also congratulated the Knights and Ladies for opening its educational initiatives and health programs to all people, independently of the community they belong to and the religion they profess. Well, that's it. Those are the highlights of the news this week in the Vatican, but stay tuned for a special segment.
I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio with Matthew Bunsen. Join us every week as we talk with the Register's expert writers and editors about the news you need to know and offer authentic Catholic insights on the important stories that impact your life. Register Radio, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Well, welcome to another edition of Vatican Insider. And I have to say that anyone who has been in Rome for a few years probably knows my guest today, Donna Orsuto. She's founder of the Lay Center Foyer Unitas and president of the center's board of directors. I want everyone to know this very important work that Donna does. So, Donna, welcome to Vatican Insider.
Thank you so much, Joan. It's great to be with you.
Now, Donna, tell us a little bit about yourself. I'll kind of give an overview. You're a professor of spirituality at the Pontifical Gregorian University. You've written books, articles, you give retreats, and you're active in ecumenical and interreligious dialogue. Is that pretty much right?
That's correct, Joan. Yes, I've been in Rome since 1979. I was a student here, and now since 1989, I've been a professor at the Gregorian and continue to work here at the Lay Center. Mm-hmm.
And I do know that the ecumenical and interreligious dialogue is a very big aspect of your life. Now, last year, we marked, and I say we because I was here at a dinner during that year. We'll talk about that in a moment. The center marked 30 years. Wow, that's a wonderful long time. It's a wonderful history. Tell us what prompted you to, with someone else, co-found the center.
Well, what happened, Joan, is that in 1979, I came to Rome as a student, and I worked at a place called Foye Unitas, which was on the amazing Piazza Navona. And I was a student studying at the Gregorian University, helping out at this ecumenical center. And as time went on, I realized that there were many lay students in Rome who were not as fortunate as I was, because I was living in a safe place. I could do my studies in peace, but I realized that many lay people did not have the opportunities that I had. So in 1986, when the Dutch sisters who ran that center decided to conclude their activities because they were elderly and wanted to move on, a friend and I approached them and asked them if they would consider letting us start what we called the Lay Center at Foye Unitas, a house for lay students who were studying at the Pontifical Universities, to give these lay students an opportunity to live together in community, to be in a safe place while they were doing their studies, and also to meet interesting people during their studies, to give them some of the same opportunities that seminarians and priests and religious have.
Of course. Just a wonderful idea, and I've heard that many times over the years that I've been here, of students that come to Rome, where can they find housing? Sometimes, obviously, if they're here for a degree for a couple of years, then that's a question of maybe sharing an apartment or whatever. But we'll talk about the housing in a minute, but let's talk about the property, because you're now at a different location, and you and I met at one of the gates and walked up to the building where you have your dining hall, chapel, and some rooms for the students. But tell us about this property.
Okay, well, we're in one of the most beautiful spots in Rome. We're a guest of the Passionist Fathers. It's the largest private garden in the center of Rome, overlooking the Colosseum and the Forum. Very historical place, really 2,000 years of history and more.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful space. It's like an oasis in the city that allows people to have a sort of a contemplative space where they can study hard, where they can pray, where they can reflect, where they can meet their friends and
enjoy the beauty. I think a fair word to use is breathtaking. Mm. You're looking at the center of Rome, at the Colosseum. You walk around a little more. You're looking at another hill, another basilica, more ruins. It's so peaceful. You just can't imagine that there's the cacophony of horns and buses and cars just a few feet away. Donna, so that our listeners understand better, tell us a little bit about your mission, your program, what you offer here.
Well, the Lay Center basically has three dimensions to its mission. First of all, we offer hospitality to lay students studying at the Pontifical Universities. So we have about 20, 22 students from about 14 different countries living
together.
Fascinating. It's a very big cultural diversity. We use both languages, Italian and English, and also lots of other languages. One of the hallmarks of the Lay Center is also our openness to ecumenical and interreligious dialogue. So we always have Christians from other traditions. We have, at the moment, we have two Orthodox students, one Copt. We often have Anglican students with us. And so we have an opportunity to really have a dialogue of life, Christian life together. We're also open to students of other religions, because some students come here on a special scholarship to study Christianity for a short period of time. Part of their scholarship is to live here at the Lay Center so that they can enjoy, learn about Christianity also by living with Christians.
Oh, of course.
So we have, at the moment, a Buddhist sister from Myanmar, and we have two Muslim women, one from the Philippines and one from Indonesia. Often we have Jewish students from the Hebrew University staying with us, and often visiting professors. So there's this exchange, this intellectual exchange, that goes on often till the wee hours of the morning.
I'm trying to imagine mealtime. How fascinating that must be. Do the students kind of get together by language? I mean, there's a great number that might speak French or English, because French is often, certainly even in Asia, French can be a second language. So do they kind of mix at meals or stick together in language groups?
People actually mix a lot, although sometimes you have language groups. I'm just thinking Arabic is a language that's spoken a lot here at the Lay Center.
Sure.
So we have two students from Iraq, two Christians from Iraq. We have a Copt from Egypt. And then we have a number of American students who have studied Islam and studied Arabic as well. So often you hear people speaking Arabic, or you might hear people speaking Hebrew. Also, Portuguese is a language that's used a lot in the Lay Center, because we have students from Mozambique, from Brazil.
Fascinating. Now, what are some of the activities? What are some of the things you do other than meals as a group? Are there excursions, etc.?
One of the things we do is we try to have a few excursions each year. We begin in the fall with a retreat together. So everyone goes outside of Rome to the beautiful Castelli Romani.
Oh, yeah.
For 3 days together.
And the Castelli Romani, for my listeners, just a reminder, I think you would associate Castel Gandolfo with the name Castelli Romani.
Exactly. And we actually see Castel Gandolfo from where we have our retreat. So we get together at the beginning of the year for community building and for planning for the year. And then we always do a cultural activity in the spring, going on a field trip. We also invite students to all sorts of cultural activities during the year, going to museums, all sorts of events. In addition, inside the Lay Center, because it has a Catholic foundation, and we want to keep the flame alive of Christian spirituality, we have a commitment of having a weekly mass in our chapel, where we invite guests, professors from the universities or guests from the Vatican, to come in and celebrate Mass for our community and to share with us about a given theme. And each night we have a prayer together.
Nice.
So we really try to encourage people to, the Christians, to follow their Christian faith, and respecting people of other religious
sure.
backgrounds that they would in their own way.
Now, do you have any special ties with any Vatican offices, like maybe Catholic education or something like that?
Yeah, we do. We work with a number of congregations and councils For example, just recently, one of our students from Iraq and I were involved in an interreligious dialogue organized by the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue.
Oh, Cardinal Tehran, yes.
Exactly. And we also have contacts with the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity.
Sure. And, oh, of course you would.
Yeah. And, of course, just recently for the Dies Academicus, we had seven students, this academic day at the Gregorian, we had seven students sharing about their experience of ecumenical dialogue here at the Lay Center. So from different backgrounds, the age groups were from 19 to 60 years old, sharing their experience of ecumenical dialogue and the call for all of us to really promote Christian unity. And, of course, Catholic education is very important.
Absolutely.
Catholic education is what we're all about. And really, we have good contacts with that congregation as well.
Sure. I have to say that this has to be a wonderful experience for the students. The beneficiaries would be their home communities, too, when you think about it. Their, whatever their religion, their local church, a monastery, temple, etc. That has to be their... being in this eternal city, looking at both Christian and pagan Rome, when you think of it, all that they've learned here, the people they will have met in the Vatican, it has to be a very terrific experience personally, and then again, what they bring back to their families, their homes, and their communities. And speaking of enriching experiences, you and I really got to know each other. I don't remember the first time we would have met. We've both been here many decades. You have a wonderful annual event at which I have spoken several times a week with presidents of Catholic universities. Tell us about that.
Yes, this is one of our very exciting programs. The Lay Center organizes approximately 30 different programs each year. And let me tell you about this particular one and then a second one. So this one is the Association for Catholic Colleges and Universities.
Right.
And the program is designed to assist presidents and key administrators in a visit of Rome whereby they would reflect together, come as a delegation and reflect together with officials of various dicasteries, various Vatican offices, on Catholic identity. So it's an opportunity for them to be together and also to reflect with Vatican officials. So this program, what does it consist of? Well, we have meetings, obviously, with various offices like Catholic Education, Council for Culture, Christian Unity, etc. But we would also do things like have a retreat day where we would go to Subiaco and reflect on how at these Catholic universities we can all work together, lay people, religious, priests, work together to carry the charism of the original founding of the college or university to the next generation.
Sure.
Because so often lay people are doing that. And so how do you equip lay people to carry on this mission? So we reflect on that. We go to the rooms of St. Ignatius and reflect on how apostolic communities do this as well. And then so monastic and apostolic communities, Benedict and Ignatius. We also have Mass in the rooms of St. Ignatius with Archbishop Ladaria.
Oh.
So it's a combination of reflection, of intellectual study together, and also spirituality.
Oh, it's a wonderful event, and I've enjoyed meeting so many of them at the dinners. One time there was the president, of course, of my own alma mater, St. Mary's of Notre Dame. So just touching bases with people I've met over the years who might not have been presidents when I met them. And that is a wonderful experience.
Another program that we have, which is very interesting, is coming up very soon, and that is our program in interreligious dialogue. We collaborate with the Cambridge Muslim College and the Center for Islamic Studies at Tübingen University.
Oh.
And we bring together about 30 young Muslims who come to Rome for a very intensive program called Christians and Muslims in Dialogue. And basically, we visit the various dicasteries, the various Vatican offices. We also visit some of the church, some of the key sites in Rome. And we try to help people to understand Christianity, build bridges between young Muslims and Christians so that we can plan for the future, a future of peace and not conflict.
Well, just think of the questions that they must have, and then you answer them, and they go home to their respective Muslim communities and can answer the questions that they get there. Now, Donna, in these years of Rome, the amazing students, the speakers, the opportunities you've had of meeting so many people at the Vatican, are there any special moments or highlights or, oh, wow, one of the most wonderful days was, you know?
Mm. Well, there are many highlights, but I would say, you know, what excites me the most is the experience of the intergenerational activities that we've had here at the Lay Center, where our young students have mixed with an older generation.
Sure.
So, for example, we've just done an amazing series on welcoming the stranger. Some of our younger students have been mentored by experts in various fields to help reflect on that topic from an interdisciplinary dimension. To me, this is a source of great joy to see people from different backgrounds, different age groups,
sure,
working together and reflecting together. So that's one of the things that I really appreciate. Of course, you know, the opportunity over the years of meeting the Holy Father,
sure,
from John Paul II right on up to Pope Francis, to be here at the heart of the church is a great privilege, an incredible privilege. And it's a privilege for me, for all of the students.
Well, you know, Donna, you just took the words out of my mouth. It's a great privilege. You and I do share that being here where we hear the heartbeat of the Catholic Church, and yet we do have the opportunity to meet people from so many faiths, cultures, religions, backgrounds, etc. And that in itself is a very rewarding, stimulating experience. I just want to thank you for your time, and unfortunately the Lay Center is not a place that's on the itinerary of visitors, but if you're the president of the university and you're listening, you either have been here or may be invited. So Donna Orsuto, head of the Lay Center Foyer Unitas in Rome, and thank you for your hospitality today as when I attend the dinner.
Thank you so much, Joan, and thanks for all that you do here in Rome.
Well, that's it for today, but please come back and join me again next week on Vatican Insider.